Welcome to this blessed Sabbath day.
Come on, I know even in the children's story, you lot was all like somber. I know that it's challenging. We had 5 days, but you're still alive. You're here right now. I mean, listen, we had 5 days of sunshine, hallelujah. And then it rained yet over four, but we had 5 days of sunshine. And remember, even the weatherman said we beat Noah. We had over 40 days of rain. So come on now. So I want to bring you greetings from the South England Conference and from your conference, your staff. We're there to serve you. And from your executive team, which is Dr. Kirk Thomas, and that's Anne Swaby and Pastor Nathan Stickland. It's a joy and an honor for me to be here with you today. And thank you very much for the invitation. I am truly humbled. You know, every time you get asked to speak somewhere, you don't know what the environment is or the reception that you receive. But I have to say, I'm so grateful to see the face of Lorraine right here. This woman right here is a savior, okay? I'm just telling you. I'm just putting that out there. So please love on her because I love her. I appreciate her very much. So today is Women's International Day of Prayer. And we're going to be talking about women of prayer and faith. But of course, we are for all. So it goes for the men as well. And tomorrow is actually International Women's Day. Okay, so for you women, if you want to just take a little relaxed time, feel free. Okay, it's your day tomorrow. Amen? Right, there you go. So let us pray. Father God, remove me and speak to your children. Let them hear from you a word and be comforted, especially at this trying time. In your holy and most precious name, amen. So let me see if I've got this right. Yay. Sorry. Because sometimes it doesn't always work, so amen. So, women of prayer and faith. One of the things I want you to do, and I'm seeing you all here, and you think, you know, this is an auditorium, you're just looking at me. No, I need some interaction. I truly believe that even though when Jesus on the Sermon of the Mount and everyone was listening, they still engaged with him. Does that make sense? So I want to ask you, when do you think is the best time to pray? Ah, okay. You know what? It would help if I put on my glasses, isn't it? Oh, look at that. Amen. Prayer is one of the most powerful things that we have, okay? There is power in prayer. Breakthroughs are gained through prayer. Fasting and prayer brings healing to the mind, body, soul, and spirit. Standing in the gap, interceding for others, and God's favor comes through prayer. So as this is International Women's Day of Prayer, one of the things that we like to look at is, of course, global unity through prayer. When all of us come together to pray, heaven listens. Remember, it says where two or more are gathered, he is amongst us. So could you imagine when we come together globally? Then we have the role of spiritual leadership. It is not just, how shall I say, presumption to just think that when you're in leadership, as some may, that it's all about you. It's not. One has to humbly go before the Lord and seek his face, his grace, and his mercies. Because whatever you do in leadership, you don't want to misrepresent. And especially if you say you're working for the Lord. Then we have the legacy of prayer, the movements. Prayer becomes a movement when all of us pray. And then faith and perseverance. You know, I was in the car with my daughter, and I have to laugh. She just reminded me so much of myself. Because I said to her, we're talking about now, the time as it is. And she said, well, if it's not in the Bible, then you know, we don't have to do it. I said, so you wanted the Lord to put technology in the Bible. Well, the word technology is not in there, she said. I said, so you wanted before Christ, when there wasn't technology, for them to put technology in the Bible. I said to her, why don't you read Revelation? She goes, no, I'm not reading that book. I said to her, why? No. But I started laughing in my head because I remember being the same. I did not want to read Revelation because I didn't want to know about the end. I did not want to know about the world's demise. But in reading it and seeing what is happening right now, I truly do believe that revelations are happening. And even so, I got a phone call yesterday out of the blue from the life insurance company. And they said they wanted to see if I wanted to add on my funeral arrangements. I said, Lord, these people are trying to kill me. You already want my money from life insurance, and now you're trying to make funeral arrangements. I said, no. It's okay. I got this covered. Thank you very much. But it just hit home for me that they're trying to call people now and telling them, be ready for death. And don't put your families in a predicament where they will be struggling. And I was like, this world is becoming scary. I mean, let's be honest. Let's keep it real. If you don't watch the news or listen to it, then you may be still living in la-la. But if you do, you recognize that things are happening on the earth. One, that morally should not be happening. And two, the people that say they're in leadership, that they are for us, they are against us. So if we don't hold ourselves to the one who is for us, we will suffer. Women of prayer and faith. It's important as women to not be fearful and stand up and be counted. Sometimes you just have to stand in the gap. Sometimes you just have to, and as I asked, pray without ceasing. The perfect time to pray, as it says in Ellen White's prayer, page 223, there is no time or place in which it is inappropriate to offer up a petition to God. And as if you're like me, I'm praying constantly. Since my father passed, I was in mourning for a long time, and I truly believe that's what triggered my lupus and my first clot. Because lupus is an autoimmune disease and it's stress induced as well. So that's why I like to stay in a happy place. So no one should stress me, okay? Because when you are stressed, your body releases cortisol and adrenaline, doesn't it? And so if that's too much, it starts to damage you. And your white blood cells, which are fighting for you, which mine are, overdo it, okay? And I had to learn. And I just got baptized at the time, so it was really weird to lose my dad and then now be baptized, to lean on God and pray to him. Because now he was my heavenly father and the only representation of a father that I had. And it is through this process that I continually started to lean on him and started to pray. For Women's International Day of Prayer, it's a global initiative dedicated to uniting women across cultures, denominations, and nations in collective prayer and intercession and spiritual reflection. And in this time, at this time, I really do feel we need to reflect. I really do feel that we need to pray and we need to start seriously coming together. Because if we do not, those winds of strife that are being held back by the Lord are going to be unleashed. And if we are not steadfast in our faith and strong in who we are going to fail. Perfect time to pray as a little child. You know, we have so many prayers. As a child, the simple prayer that it has. Remember, do any of you remember these prayers? Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon this little child. Pity my simplicity and suffer me to come to thee. See, these are the prayers that you start off with. And then you have the one, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my soul the Lord to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. If I should live for other days, I pray thee, Lord, to guide my ways. See, there's so many things that we started saying as children, but we forget them now. Remember, as a child, you also had God our Father, once again, we thank you for this blessing. We thank you for this blessing. Amen. That was a simple grace for your food. Another one is, for health and strength and daily food, I praise thy name, O Lord. Amen. Remember, you're starting to remember these, aren't you? These are prayers that we prayed, but do we actually believe our prayers today? See, I see a little girl shaking her head. I like that. Because you know what, baby girl? People are not truly believing in the word of God and that he lives today. I'm going to give you some real life examples of how God lives today. Simple little things. Lord, I am tired today. My body's hurting. Please, can I find a parking spot near the place? Because I don't have the energy today. And you see what? I be driving and I say, amen, hallelujah. There's the parking spot. If not, then I know the Lord is saying you listen to the consultant and you need to walk a little bit more today. Amen. Dear Lord, that person pulled off and they nearly created an accident, but you saved me. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, please, why am I the person that always gets the senior citizen on the plane and now I've got to help them and they're going to talk to me instead of go to sleep? But guess what? Lord, you placed me here for a reason. So I'm going to hear your word and I will support them. Every single thing you do in your life, you need to bring before the Lord. You need to pray. Whether it's toothpaste, whether it's a new car, I am so serious. If you are serious about bringing yourself into the will of God, you need to pray about everything. It's because oftentimes we just go off on our own. We do things and then we cry out, oh, but it's too late. If we'd have gone to the Father in prayer first, it would have given us a time of reflection because we would have waited somewhat for an answer. And so then we might not make such rash decisions. Prayer transforms us. It helps us to be saved and feel safe because we're talking to God. And I'm, as I said, I'm always thankful for that parking space. Grateful for the food and the home he has blessed us with. Praise for having a vehicle and not having to use TFL. Amen. Thankful for helping me and others to overcome depression and abuse. Grateful for loving me and giving me grace. These are the things that we need to talk about and we need to pray about. You know, our sister here, oh, it's not moved. The Canaanite woman. Matthew 15, 21, 28 presents a powerful narrative of her. A woman whose unwavering determination and faith moved Jesus to perform a miracle. I am really in awe of this woman. She knew she was not to be in Jesus' presence. She knew just from her birth, she was not to be in the same vicinity as Jesus. But she knew that without Jesus, her daughter could not be healed. So she was willing to overcome all the barriers, all of the discrimination, all of what would be said about her to save her daughter. And that's how we need to be about our soul salvation. Her persistence is tested when Jesus responds initially with silence and then later with words that challenge her resolve. But instead of withdrawing, she demonstrates remarkable humility and insight, responding that not even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. This statement reveals not only her deep theological understanding, but also her profound trust in Jesus. This is representing her faith is great, and it's granting her healing. Unwavering belief in God's power despite the obstacles. Do you pray like you believe God? Do you pray and believe that that is going to be so? Many of us pray empty prayers. We pray because it's tradition. We pray because we're told to pray in the morning, pray at lunch, pray over the food. But are you actually grateful for the burger that you're eating from Mickey D's? Think about it. If I do form my foolish self and pass that way, not often, I am praying over the burger because I know the contents. Only Jesus can save me. You have to realize that in everything we do, the perseverance in prayer is what makes the Lord answer. Prayer transforms us. Remember in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. This is to feed, guide, and to shield me. I shall not want. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still and quiet waters. He refreshes and restores my soul. Your life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the sunrise and the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Are you fearful at this time when you see what's happening in the news today? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed and established my head with oil, from my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy and unfailing love shall follow me in all the days of my life. And I shall dwell forever throughout the days in the house in the presence of the Lord. When Jesus came to earth, he told us how to pray. Sometimes we forget how important that little prayer is. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It's important that we truly believe and trust in the Lord. I prefer the account of this story in Matthew. The reason being is because I like that then Jesus actually says what her faith is. And if you want to turn again with me to Matthew 15, 21 to 28, and I'm going to read that in your hearing. You know, this passage unfolds against a backdrop of the cultural tension as the woman Gentile approaches a Jewish rabbi. And that, as I've shared with you, alone is not heard of. Her recognition of Jesus as Lord and Son of David reveals not only theological understanding, but also deep reverence, providing an example of how acknowledging divine authority establishes the foundation for effectual prayer. So let's read. Then Jesus went, so remember 15, 21, 28. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to a region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely possessed." But he answered her not a word. How do you feel when Jesus doesn't answer your prayers? Do you still persist? Or do you say, "Oh, God's busy today, he doesn't hear"? Persistence. Then The disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Now, did she say, "Lord, help me," quietly? Or did she say, "Lord, help me"? The latter. And sometimes you have to cry out. You have to cry out to the Father for him to know that this is truly what you need. Because once again, if you don't believe and you're only praying softly, softly, then it's because of your faith that he will and he is what answers your prayers. Cry out. Some prayers need you to cry out. They don't have to be long prayers. Just "Jesus, save me" is crying out. Then he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." I like this lady. She's smart. She's quick. You see, she went like, "Oh, he's disrespecting me, so I'm going to go." She was like, no. "This man has what I need. This man has what the healing power for my daughter. So guess what? You can say what you want to say to me. You can say, but I'm staying until you bless me." Just like Jacob. This is the woman here saying, "I will be here and accept what you give until you bless me." And here it comes. Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. I want to share with you today that even in the 21st century, in the 7th of March in 2026, that same prayer power is working today. If you don't believe it, it's time for you to start shaking up those feelings that you have of despair or not thinking that it's true. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are created by a higher being. If we were a sludge that slipped out of the sea, started to get our legs, dropped off our tail, kept going, "Why don't I have wings?" Instead, they have to bring Red Bull. We have not evolved because this is how we are created. And we are created so that we can serve a risen Savior and that he hears. Jesus is going before the Father, interceding on our behalf. Everything that you experience, he is aware of because he has been here. If you don't trust him, you need to start to believe in something. If you don't believe in God, if you don't believe that Jesus saves, then you're going to be in a very dark place with what is going to continue happening on this earth. Jesus ultimately commends her great faith, granting her request and healing her daughter instantly. This is a testimony to the power of persistent, heartfelt prayer. This narrative highlights at least three essential principles. First, faith must be both humble and bold. Willing to transcend cultural, emotional, or spiritual barriers. Second, prayer sometimes requires perseverance beyond initial setbacks. So you've asked once, and maybe you heard silence. Oh, no. No. Go back before the Lord. Third, God honors sincerity and recognizes the depth of faith expressed by those who refuse to give up. Are you sincere when you go before the Lord? That's a question I'm asking you to think about for yourself. Are you sincere? Remember, it says if you have something against your brother or sister, you need to go and deal with that before you come before him. And many of us in churches won't even talk to some people because there was an upset about the macaroni cheese at lunchtime sometimes. I'm hearing people who haven't spoken to people or family members for years, and I'm baffled by that. I'm like, how do you live in that way but say that you are of God? It concerns me that then maybe there's a misconception of what heaven is. Because I like to remind people, Lucifer was in heaven and he became miserable. He became so miserable that he decided to go and complain about Jesus being on the right hand and him on the left, even though he was more beautiful and he could sing a ten-chord harmony. You're in heaven with the Creator and you're not happy. Can you see how we can become so self-centered and absorbed? Until he even managed to encourage a third of heaven so that they all had to be cast out. So here's my thing to you. If Lucifer was in heaven and he was miserable, do you think if you're miserable here on earth, God's going to bring you up there? Think about it. Why would he bring back the same drama that he put out? I want you to think about that. You know, we say we have joy, joy, joy down in our heart. Do you? If you're bringing your miserable, sour self, I don't think the Lord's going to open heaven's gate for you. I'm just saying, I don't know Jesus, but I'm just thinking, if I had that trouble before, I like peace and calm. We need to make some changes, my brethren. So as we go through and we look at this passage, it helps us to understand that God values authenticity, courage, and unwavering belief. The Canaanite woman's faith stands as a timeless reminder that persistent prayer can lead to extraordinary breakthrough. Amen. I just am so in awe of how good God is, and especially because I know what he's done for me. I can't say for you, but I know what he's done for me, and I'm so grateful. I know God answers prayers. I can tell you that for me standing here. I can tell you in 2006 when my lung collapsed and I thought I was going to die, and I prayed. And I just remember going in and out of consciousness. And I said, if you could let me live till my daughter's 21, I'll be grateful. Because I don't want no one to trouble her. I just want to make sure that I'm there with her. My daughter needs me. And my daughter has passed 21. So I know God hears prayers. I also know that when I wanted to die and I was in that dark place, if God had answered that prayer, I would not be here before you today, testifying of the goodness and the glory of God. So you see, there are times when the Father does not answer and does not give you as you desire, because he knows you more than you know yourself. And he knows what is good for you, and he knows the plans and the purpose that he has for your life. So that's the reason I'm still here. Sometimes I'm like, wow, I'm still here. That's crazy. But I'm here because he's done so. And so this is what I'm trying to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today, as we've gone through Mark so we know what that is. I want to encourage you today that this is the reason why we have Hebrews 4:16. Because it offers a profound assurance to you, affirming that through Jesus, our great high priest, we have direct access to God's throne of grace. This passage invites you, women and men, anyone of faith, to approach God confidently, knowing that Christ sympathizes with every human struggle. Unlike earthly priests limited by human frailty, Jesus understands the full depth of our suffering, temptation, and emotional burdens, yet remains without sin. This empathetic connection forms the basis for bold, unhesitant prayer. The text emphasizes that believers are not merely tolerated in God's presence, but welcomed with mercy and grace in their times of need. For women who bear the emotional, spiritual, and physical responsibilities within their families and communities, this assurance is especially empowering. There are many times when the Holy Spirit just comes to me and says, "You need to pray for," and I just pray. Intercessory prayer is so important. I don't need to tell the person I'm praying for them. I just need to go before the Lord. Sometimes we have this. People will say, "Oh, can you pray for me?" Or, "Oh, yes, I'll pray for you," but then you don't. Do not say you are going to offer a prayer for someone if you do not do it. It's the same way how if you say to God or you promise God something, you must honor it. I remember when I first joined the church and I used to sing and I said, "Lord, I'm going to sing for you." And then I kept saying, maybe next time. And then my lung collapsed. Now I only sing in my car, best place. I didn't honor my promise. So now it's made it more aware to me how much I need to honor my promises to God. But it also shows me that, especially even with this passage, as it serves as a bridge between the stories of persistent faith, such as that of the Canaanite woman, and the ongoing spiritual journey of us, modern Christian women, that I can go boldly before my Father in heaven. There's nothing under this sun that I cannot go to him for. Even last week when I ended up going to hospital and I was in there and then I realized, do you know what, Father, forgive me. Before I come to you with this ailment, I went straight to the medical professionals. I should have come to you first and then you would have guided me as to what best to do. But instead, I jumped and ran to go and get the people them's drugs. And Lord have mercy, did I suffer for it. But knowing this, that this scripture enforces that prayer is not an act of desperation, but it's an invitation to a relationship anchored in divine compassion, strength, and grace. Isn't that something that you want? Didn't you want a father that you know loves you unconditionally? A father that it doesn't matter how filthy or dirty or messed up you was this morning. If you go to him, he will never turn you away. He loves you and he wants you. He wants to share your life with you. And just quickly, contemporary Christian communities, each of us as women continue to serve as influential assessors. We carry forward the legacy of biblical figures and their historical prayer movements. That's what we are now doing today. Their roles extend across church ministries, online prayer networks, family discipleship, and community support groups. Women often act as spiritual anchors within families praying for their communities. Many modern revival movements, especially across Africa, Asia, and Latin America, have grown through the quiet but persistent prayers of women who gather weekly, sometimes daily, to intercede for healing, deliverance, and spiritual awakening. Women also lead prayer retreats, Bible studies, mentorship programs that strengthen intergenerational faith. Their prayers address global issues including injustice, violence, poverty, and the spiritual needs of younger generations. In corporate and academic environments, even though now that has changed, but where you can still pray, women of faith create small prayer circles that bring encouragement and unity. Today's Women of Prayer stands as a bridge across cultural denominational lines, embodying the message that faith-filled prayer still remains a transformative force in both personal and communal life. We need prayer. We need prayer. Living as a woman of faith and prayer Your faith, you need persistence. Faith requires persistence even when answers seem delayed, modeled by the Canaanite woman's example. Daily spiritual practices. You must pray daily. Modern women are encouraged to embrace prayer, not only as a response to spiritual growth, but a daily crisis, but that it will nourish your spiritual growth. This includes setting aside intentional time for scripture, meditation, worship, and reflection, participating in community prayer gatherings, and mentoring younger women in their faith journeys. It's important. Community and membership, we are not of ourselves. If you notice, there's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Jesus then came to earth and had the 12 disciples. He is not an island doing it all by himself. We need each other. Faith is an inspiration. Oftentimes when you have faith and someone sees that you believe, it then increases their faith. It then says, well, if you think it can happen, then I'm going to believe. Sometimes because it says through your testimony that it then helps others, then they realize even if it wasn't for my time yet, there's still hope. It can happen. And they can then go back to the Father and pray again with a new fire and vigor. And as the song that we sang, when you're in this time, and that's what I liked, it says, Jesus, when I need him most. Jesus, when I need him most, Jesus is near. Jesus, when I falter, Jesus, when I fear, ready to help me, ready to cheer. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer, just when I need him most. It's so important, all of us, not just ladies, that we seek the Lord in everything. Depression is prevalent and rampant right now. Anxiety is rampant right now. There was a wave of prayers that went out last week and this week for our children that the devil is attacking with these demonic things of telling them to go out on the streets and fight. Parents are having to scoop up their children and go and collect them from school, which they never had to do because of fears that their children could be harmed. We are living in perilous times. If you do not create an altar within your household, if you do not get on your knees and pray, sit on your bed, in the chair, in the car, anywhere that you can, go before the throne of grace. We need prayer today. I'm going to ask you, if you truly believe and you want to now start to strengthen your faith, seek God with sincerity and authenticity. You cannot fake the funk with Jesus. You may pretend to us on the outside, but the Father knows everything and he knows your heart. It's time to get real with Jesus. It's time to truly go before him, bear all, tell him your most inner secrets. He won't tell anyone, I promise you. And you know that he will have your back through the thick and through all. If you believe that Jesus is real, your living Savior, and you want to strengthen your faith and your belief and create a stronger prayer life in giving your life and rededicating yourself to Christ, I'm going to ask you to stand with me and let us pray. This is an appeal to seek God truly, sincerely, and authentically. However you believed your Christian journey before today, renew it in the Lord. Forget all the traditions and truly come before your Maker. Let us pray. Dear Father, the Most High, Yahweh, as we come before you today, we are giving ourselves as living sacrifices, O God, to you, saying, we humbly bow before you. We come, we knowing that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, but that because we are not robots, we have the autonomy to do and go and say as we please. But we are giving our lives wholeheartedly to you. We are going to seek you faithfully in prayer. And we are going to believe you for the great I am that you are. And when we pray to you, we won't pray shallow prayers like those who just want to be seen to pray. We will pray fervent, sincere prayer. Ones for compassion, kindness, and the love and goodness of our fellow men and women. Father, fill us with your spirit so that we can truly permeate your light and your love and your kindness one to another. Father, as we pray, hear us, forgive our sins. We are sorry if we have wronged you and anyone else. Thank you for hearing, for answering. In your holy and most precious name, amen. Thank you all for listening. And we have a little something for you ladies. So please don't leave without getting it as we stand at the door. And I just want to say thank you for sharing Women's Day with me. It has been a blessing, and I hope you received a word from the Lord.